Hello, Glenn. It's Rowan from Silver Tiger Media. How are you?
Good morning, Rowan.
Well, Glenn, it's such a thrill and a privilege to speak with you. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Twice inducted into the ARIA Hall of Fame, legend of Australian music, celebrated the globe over, master musician and one of the true owners of golden vocals. Here we are. I, for one, am thrilled that we're discussing new work, more touring and another year of brilliant celebrations. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. You know, I have that's the measure of success is how long you can stay around and still be valid. Luckily, I've had the respect of my peers and, I've had a very lucky career. There's been a couple of mistakes made on the way, but that's another story. But, I'm a very lucky man. I've just got some new recording. Well, it is new recording of old songs. I presume you're relating to my March release of Glenn Shorrock Sings Little River Band, which is a teasing title, because most people would think, well, he was in Little River Band.
That's what grabbed me straight away, Glenn, if you don't mind me saying. I sat there and I thought, when Alexander saw the breadth of his domain, he wept, for there were no more worlds to conquer. I realise that's an often misquoted, often coined phrase, but you appear to have decided, right, let's do it all over again. Is there any validity to that observation?
There is. I mean, I'm intrigued by the way people will receive this. I don't expect this to be anything world shattering or get me back on the top of the charts or whatever, right? I was approached to do this project and I thought the same as everybody else. Well, they probably got all the originals. What's wrong with them? But a guy called Steve Balby, who used to be in Noiseworks, he is now a producer and an artist in his own right. And he and I have become friends through working together of recent years, and he basically said, you know, that's what you should do, go and revisit those great old songs. They were done 40-odd years ago now, and I think we can freshen them up and, you know, get your head above the ramparts again, as it were.
Well, I spoke with him recently, and, of course, he had to keep shtum on what was going on then. It's only now I realise what he meant by very important and historic project, because here we are. Huge congratulations are certainly in order.
Well, thank you. Have you heard anything?
I've heard the whole lot start to finish, and it absolutely hit me for six. It's not only a celebration of past music, but it's also refreshed, revised, and it's a celebration of you here and now. It's astonishing.
Oh, I'm glad you like it. Some people are going to say, well, what do I need that for? I've got the originals, but I'm very thrilled with it. I let Steve run with it, really. I let him, by and large, choose the musicians and the studio, some of whom I know, of course. You know, I've been around the block a bit. He really produced the record. I certainly was an executive producer, shall we say. Mm. And I'm thrilled with the way it sounds. Glenn Wheatley, you know, my old friend and manager, I played it to him and he said, shit, it's better than the original one.
I can imagine him saying it.
No, he was thrilled by it. And I've been speaking to some American people as well, because it's getting some interest over there, and they're very keen on it as well. So who knows? Who knows? Maybe it'll be a resurgence of my... I look at it in another light, Rowan. It's taking back my legacy.
Mm. Yes, absolutely. And so very finally, if I may add, because as we explore this album a little further, it's the perfect blend of nostalgia and contemporary celebration. One example for me personally is... Or what highlights is that it's little things like the guitar solo of one of my all-time favourites called Change. You have both Jack Houston and James Van Cooper on this collection. Was there much improvisation amongst the contributors to the tracks?
Oh, yes. Yeah, you know, it was a musical exercise. We had a couple of pre-production rehearsals and looked at how we could approach certain songs in a different light. But really, Jack Housden is his name. He's Steve Housden's brother.
Of course.
And so there's a certain beautiful little piece of irony in that. Because Stephen Housden has got the name Little River Band now and exploits it somewhat naughtily here and there. We've had our running battles with him over the years. And sure enough, Jack Housden with the Bad Loves, he's had some run-ins with the name as well, the name of his band. So he and I have look at it in a different light, slightly tongue-in-cheek.
Absolutely, beautifully put. It's one of the most striking elements to me is the tracks themselves. How did you go about selecting what are essentially the perfect tracks from the LRB catalogue?
I think that's debatable. You know, some people would say, well, why'd you leave that off? I don't know. It was Steve mainly, you know, and he put forward Happy Anniversary, first of all, which is not one of my favorite LRB tracks, alongside Witchery and a few other little misguided A&R mistakes along the way. But basically, we agreed with Lonesome Loser and Night Owls. I wanted to sing that because I didn't in the band. Wayne Nelson sings that, and of course Wayne Nelson has also taken over, you know, my job as well as playing bass in the current such as it is Little River Band. So yeah, there were many little nuances in there to really settle on which tracks. I'm just happy. I'm thrilled with it. It sounds great. I sound good, and all's well.
Indeed. And, of course, you have a dear friend of ours, Phil Stack from Thirsty Merc, playing upright bass on Reminiscing, a live performance. And, again, this contribution seems to give the track such a contemporary feel and a jazz feel in this instance. When was that track recorded?
Where are we now? Early and mid-18, yeah, about a year ago, really.
Indeed. And now
it was only a 2-day session here in Sydney. Most of the guys that I've played with before or met before, Pete Drummond on drums, you know, he plays with Dragon these days. And I've known him for a long while. Who else?
Dario.
Yeah, Dario I've worked with before on certain projects. What's his name? Wolf.
Yeah,
Robert Wolf, I didn't know much at all. I hadn't met him before. And also Jack brought along his young friend, what's his name, the guitar player? The second guitar player.
James Van Cooper. My apologies.
Yeah, James Van Cooper. My apologies too. I'd never even met them. You know, I didn't know James or Robert. But it was a fun session to do. Glenn Cunningham sang some backup vocals for me, and he's been a thorn in my side for quite a while.
And of course, Hugh Wilson joining in there on backing vocals as well.
Yep. Yeah, it was a good bunch of people, and we had a good session.
Indeed. Mitchell Rogers on lap steel, Ross Middleton on sax. And it was interesting to me the selection of artists and how they came about, that was actually Steve's idea.
Yeah, that's correct. It was he came to me, you know, with the idea of the project in the first place. And as I said, you know, I had sort of misgivings about it, but I thought, oh, well, you know, if you're going to pay for it, go ahead, I'll do it with you. And lo and behold, I've got a nice bunch of recordings there to talk about now.
Indeed. I think it's a masterstroke that Reminiscing is the last track on this album, because it has you wanting more and wanting to hear more, but it also highlights how astonishing and amazing your voice is to this day. I don't know if your vocal cords are aware or not, but you're turning 75 the next birthday. You're still as polished and perfect as ever. How on earth do you go about keeping your voice so intact?
Good question. I don't know. You know, I don't exactly treat it with kid gloves. What I don't do is do shows and then go out and party and shout in noisy nightclubs. I learnt that a long time ago. That doesn't do your voice any good. If you've done a two-hour show, and, you know, you've tried hard and done your best, then you should just shut up and go to bed. And basically, that's what I've done. After a couple of settlers, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely, but I'm well-earned, if I may add.
Yeah, but I don't like noisy clubs. Never have done. And for that reason, you know, you do more damage to your voice shouting at people than you do singing.
Well, I think that's one of the things that we need to discuss briefly is the effect that you're going to have on crowds when this album is released. I mean, Glenn, you're going to have noisy clubs. You're making me feel young again with your voice still providing the soundtrack to my life. I mean, that's an incredible statement on its own.
Yeah.
75 years on this earth. To give you some relevance there, I remember the first Little River Band film clip in 1975, Curiosity Killed the Cat, and Emma that same year on Countdown.
Yeah.
I don't understand how you do it.
Well, that's my job, you know. That's what I've always done. I've always fronted a band. I've instigated a few things myself back in the early days, my teenage years growing up in South Australia, a place called Elizabeth, north of Adelaide. I just hung out with two good friends, and we were 17, 18, around that age. Rock and roll had certainly taken a grip on us by that stage. It was about 1962, and we were well into, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, such as they were. That was more like a Kiss and an Aspro and a bit of a dance, if you know what I mean. We just found out that we could sing. We could sing harmony together. And I was encouraged by somebody else who I was working with in the drawing office in the city. He was in a vocal group as well. So, well, it just sort of, I just found out that I could sing properly, and it just grew from there. And then the Beatles, of course, came along about a year or two later. By that stage, we were fairly well known in Adelaide as a vocal group or whatever we could do. But the Beatles, of course, everybody was besotted by them. And we morphed ourselves into the backing band that we had at the time, the Hurricanes, and became the six-piece recording band, the Twilights. And then went off to international, not stardom, but international experience through the Hovey's National Battle of the Sounds and chart positions, Needle in a Haystack, What's Wrong with the Way I Live, the Abbey Road Sessions in 1967 in London, which are pretty daunting when we're in the same building as the Beatles doing Penny Lane. We were in the adjoining studio doing What's Wrong with the Way I Live and Young Girl and 950. So, yeah, you know, I've been around some good people all my life.
Absolutely. I cannot encourage people enough to pick up your autobiography, Now Where Was I, and have a good wade through that to truly understand the significance of you releasing contemporary music. Mm. Thinking back to those days when Mississippi was transforming into LRB, you were ready to hit the ground running, of course, after your success in recording internationally, Twilight's Axiom alongside Brian Catt, of course, who also doesn't look after his voice in any particular way.
No.
To,
round about when Glenn Wheatley said, how about performing with these lads, Beat Birtles and the Grahams, Derek, Dave? What are your fondest memories of those days?
Well, they certainly gave me a new lease on life. I'd spent 5 years in London, and I was planning to come back to Australia in 74, late 74, and I thought, well, maybe I'll be a manager again or an agent. I just finished a six-week stint singing backups to Cliff Richard at the London Palladium with a bunch of other Aussie backup people as well, Terry Britton and Kevin Peake, and I was paid £100 a week for that, and
wow. And
that paid my fare back to Australia. Meanwhile, I'd met with Wheatley and Birtles and Goble and Pellicci, and you know, I brought to the table a few songs and listened to what they'd written, and we sang together. And the very first thing we did was "It's a Long Way There." And that's one of the reasons I put "It's a Long Way There" on the first track of this album, because it was the very first song I ever learnt and sang with those guys. And we sang together easily and comfortably. So I knew there was another light at the end of the tunnel, and it came from forming in Melbourne in early 75. As you said, you know, we had track records before Twilight's and Zoot and Mississippi. So we had a track record with the recording industry and got a contract pretty quickly. And what happened? When Will I Be Loved was recorded in our first session, and that was to become our first single, the old Everly Brothers hit, which is my instigation. You know, I thought we could do a great job of that, and we did. But then I'm just about to release it, and Linda Ronstadt puts it out, coincidentally. So it was down to Plan B, and Curiosity was Plan B. And that did well for us. You know, it was a top 10 in Australia and got us off to a flying start.
Wow. Glenn, listening to you now, I'm just reveling in the Australian and international music history. Here we are, 2019. When most people of your age would be thinking about hanging everything up and just relaxing in the sunshine, you're heading out on tour again, beginning all over Australia, dates starting on the 14th of March at Byron Theatre. And, of course, all of the dates are available at glennshorrock.com. But this collection, this album, must feel like taking new music on the road all over again to a degree.
It's a bit of a dilemma, really. I'm not sure whether I should be playing the songs a la this record or the way people want to hear them, which is the original way, you know, with the big harmonies and whatever. I mean, that's the way I put it out there now. I still sing all, we still sing all the major parts. But when I was recording this one, I was more conscious of getting my solo personality in front, rather than the Little River Band sound. I wanted my sound, if you know what I mean. So,
I do. That's one thing that struck me, is that all of those familiar old elements are still in there. The things that were, you know, the little hooks, the little melodies are still in there in the background, and you do absolute justice to the past recordings, whilst, as you say, putting your solo efforts right in the spotlight.
Yeah. So I'm a bit undecided as to what the lineup of the band will be. Will it be all these guys that recorded this project, or will it be the guys that I've been working with in the last 10, 15 years, you know, around the country? Mainly Sydney guys, but I also when I come down to Melbourne, you know, I've got a great collection of musos there who like to work with me. It's just a matter of logistics, who you get these days. So Yeah, I'll keep all those balls in the air. As long as I'm up there singing, I'm happy.
Oh, indeed. And we will be happy too. I cannot encourage people enough to book tickets now and pre-order this sensational album through Social Family Records. Night Owl, of course, people can get hold of straight away through iTunes, Apple Music and Spotify. I'm excited for people to hear this, and I cannot wait to see the response, let alone people following you around demanding more. Congratulations, Glenn.
Thank you very much. I hope people hear it. I've had a few solo efforts out. Rise Again, I put out a couple of years back. That disappeared. I hope the music press take note of it and I get some sort of reaction to it. I didn't do this for nothing, you know. I need feedback.
Absolutely. I must admit I've been pretty selfish in talking about how much I love Glenn Shorrock Sings Little River Band and how much it will provide for so many internationally, but certainly around Australia. But Glenn, what about you? If I could ask you a direct yet personal question with the greatest of respect, what has making this record done for you personally?
It hasn't changed my life, Rowan. I'm still doing projects. I'm going to do some shows with Doug Parkinson in the coming months. Brian and I will do some shows together again this year, I'm sure. I don't know. It's just reaffirmed what I've always thought is that, you know, I'm the guy. I'm the voice of Little River Band. And,
Absolutely.
But I also was the voice of the Twilights and Axiom. And I've got that body of work around me still. And those songs are still favourites of my audience, and I'll keep doing it.
And I think it's fair to say this album is going to expand that audience phenomenally. We can actually catch you performing Bob Dylan Revisits with John Waters. When you Bob Dylan Revisited with John Waters, Mindy Matthews, Doug Parkinson and Wes Carr, which will be unmissable on the 10th of May at the Palais in Melbourne and 24th of May at the State Theatre in Sydney. I realise you're a fan of Bob Dylan, but how has his work influenced your own work over the years?
Oh, tremendously. Bob Dylan wrote meaningful lyrics, didn't he?
Yeah.
Very meaningful lyrics, out of the blue. I remember I was 15, I think, when I first heard Blowing in the Wind, and that moved me emotionally. And to move, emotionally move a 15-year-old testosterone-filled young Glenn Shorrock, that was a... some effort. I was just drawn to the fact that you could say something about yourself and the world in music. The folk era was very influential on me. I first heard folk music through Peter, Paul and Mary, who were just what were they? They were. They were a theatre act, really, weren't they?
Yeah, indeed.
They weren't hippies by any means. They were polished performers, and they did "Blowing in the Wind," beautiful version of it. So, and then when I first got songs like "Masters of War" and "Hard Rain's Going to Fall," and I've just, Dylan just becomes part of our lives after a while. And not everything has been great for Bob. You know, he's unique. You know, he still maintains that Zeus-like figure. He's a god up in the sky, as far as I'm concerned. And I had the pleasure of seeing him a few times over the years, and they were great. They were different, but they were great.
Absolutely. An obvious question, but one I'm careful to ask because you've explained so eloquently the reasons behind putting this album out. But what has kept you driven for so long, Glenn?
I'm a ham, you know, I'm a smart ass. I've always been pretty gregarious, sort of a chap, and got on well with people and found that I could make music without too much effort. It was kind of born into me. It's a natural thing for me to do. I'm just blessed with that gift. My voice is my instrument.
Indeed. Beautifully put. And here we are, 1975 to now, and still the undisputed, I think, voice of Little River Band. There's so much to thank you for, so much to look forward to. Mm. But if I could just offer for now a humble thank you for the privilege of your company today.
Thanks, Ryan. People like yourselves, you know, they keep me buoyed and keep me enthused. And thanks for the chat. I enjoyed it.
Pleasure indeed. I cannot wait to see you performing again. Congratulations again on this brilliant premiere album, but travel safely. We'll see you soon around Australia.
You certainly will. Thanks again, Ryan. Bye-bye.